That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
ThatGreatBusinessShow.com is brought to you by De Facto Shaving Oil, the best anyone can get. Made in Ireland, sold worldwide.
Welcome to episode 102 of That Great Business Show, posting on the 26th of August, 2022. Hi, I am Conal O'Moran. Well, I can tell you that episode 101, where neuroscientist Dr. Brian Penny gives you 10 handy hacks for an easier and more relaxed life, has gone down a treat. Tracking it on social media, looks like literally thousands of you have been sharing the link. So thank you. And here's another one I picked up during the week. One of Team GBS's biggest supporters is Mark O'Dwyer, founder of Big Red Cloud, accounting software for small businesses. You'll hear their ads regularly on the podcast. And Mark likes how we support small businesses on the show. And as the dad of four young ladies, he's particularly keen on our aim to have full gender balance on the podcast, something we have exceeded, having 53% women on the show to date. Another thing that Mark likes to do is Ironman challenges. That's when you run, swim and cycle forever distances. Yes, he is a bit nuts, but also seems to be good at them. He has recently completed the Copenhagen Challenge and has qualified for the Ironman World Championship to be held in Hawaii in October. Well done, Mark. Here's the bit that I really like, though. He told me that That Great Business Show is part of his training regime as he listens to it for his long runs on Saturdays. However, he wants our podcasts to last longer than the usual hour, as he usually runs for 2.5 hours when training. We love serving our customers. That's you, our loyal listeners. So if, like Mark, you would like more than double of your favorite business podcast every week, then do tell us and we can see what we can do. And do tell all of your gym bunny friends that That Great Business Show can help make the pain go away. Meanwhile, I will keep you updated on Mark's progress. And of course, another big well done to him.
That Great Business Show Irish Podcast Awards 2022 Best Business Podcast Nominee. De Facto Shaving Oil, smooth as.
On episode 102, that's this one, we are looking at whether or not credit unions can actually replace our departing banks, those being Ulster and KBC. Those banks that we are left with are trying to do a runner out of any physical location they can, and ironically, credit unions are keen to move into those vacant bank premises. From the country that gave you the provisionals and the officials, there are, but of course, two main bodies that cover the credit unions. They are the Irish League of Credit Unions and the Credit Union Development Association. Most, but not all, credit unions belong to one or other of these bodies. We did not think that the minutiae of the differences between the two bodies and their membership was what Team GBS members wanted to hear. We thought you might prefer to hear from an actual, largish, functioning credit union, one with ambitions, one that has strong views on whether they can be your bank of the future. So, with that in mind, we asked Savvy, that's S-A-V-V-I, Credit Union to join us. Like all credit unions, they have a backstory. In this case, they were originally the ESB Credit Union, working from a small office and cash box, love that piece, in the basement of the ESB offices in Dublin's Mount Street. Today, however, they're open for business to all, kind of, and I'll let them explain. And they are Mark Byrne, Savvy's CEO, who had been head of credit products at Unpost, and prior to that was head of lots of things at the Bank of Ireland. And Mark is joined in studio by head of business growth at Savvy, Conal O'Callaghan, who served 16 years in the Bank of Ireland to earn his stripes. Mark Byrne, Conal O'Callaghan, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you very much.
Sorry about the long intro, because I really wanted to get to what a great name. And I don't mean Savvy. Conal. Who called you Conal?
My parents, as far as I'm aware.
It's a great choice.
Yeah, absolutely. There's not too many of us around.
It's a growing number. And particularly, as you probably know, what was that? There was a TV series about, I didn't watch it anyway, the lead guy. He was Conal. He wasn't Conal.
Oh, Normal People.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
We're not normal, are we?
Well, I haven't watched it, so
we're abnormal. Yeah, no, you and I. Okay, yeah. Savvy. What does Savvy? Where does it come from? We know it's ESB. What does Savvy stand for?
So Savvy stands for. It's really just
that's Mark Burns'
Mark
voice
speaking here. Savvy stands for, I suppose, the term savvy in terms of being aware, clued in, hopefully understanding of what's going around, and we try to feed that concept into how we operate. So it's trying to be a play on a word that embodies what the credit union is about.
And have you got big ambitions, as I said in my lead-in?
Lots of ambitions, absolutely.
Talk to me about them, because that's what we want to hear. In particular, we are a business show. I've already had the chat with you. We are a business show. And I'll tell you the honest truth. I have been with a number of banks. I was with AIB, Bank of Ireland, just joined because Ulster Bank shut down on me, and. I have never used a credit union. So in a funny way, I'm kind of ignorant of the ways of a credit union. Who wants to discuss the ways of a credit union?
Yeah, I'll take that. Sure. Conal, you jump in and bits that I miss out on. Like, a credit union is a very unique operation and would serve well over 1 million to 1.5 million people in Ireland. It's by far the widest and largest network of branches that would flow across the full island of Ireland.
It's not unlike the GAA of finance. Well, would that be a good way of putting it?
You would absolutely hand on your heart and say we would be in every local community. But probably similar to, Onpost could make that same claim. So there's 214 credit unions in Ireland. Broadly, that was 400 10 years ago.
But they have beyond that, because there are offices within.
You'll have branches.
How many branches are there in total across the country?
Yeah, you'd have close to 1,000. Okay. Yeah. So you're kind of multiplying that 200 by 4 thereabouts, and you're getting to your 1,000 branches. So,
and you were with Bank of Ireland once upon a time. How many branches used Bank of Ireland have?
Bank of Ireland used to have 200 odd.
60 something. Yeah. But I suppose
that's Connell. Yeah. O'Callaghan.
Yeah. From recollection, I think between the post office and the credit union movement, 2/3 of the physical branch structures in the Republic of Ireland are either post office or credit union. The remainder, 1/3, and shrinking banks, more traditional banks. So I'll put some context on it. So from a physical infrastructure perspective, credit unions and post offices dominate the landscape.
And as I mentioned at the introduction there, you guys are actually doing a land grab on, as they vacate, you go in the back door.
Well, Bantry Credit Union recently took over a Bank of Ireland branch. You'll have seen that in the news.
I did.
So, absolutely. And we had the AIB issue quite recently as well, where they were looking to vacate, let's say, what was it, 70 premises around the country as well. So look, there is a strategy there from the banks, which currently isn't being replicated by
did
the credit
unions. Did that make you laugh?
Make me laugh?
What they did?
It
did.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. There are two laughs here.
But Conal, you were asking just like what do credit unions do and what makes them different as well. If you think of Ireland, credit union is very unique in that it has its own land grab, so it can operate within what we call as a common bond, and normally that's a geographical space. So if you look at the map of Ireland, you could put the 214 credit unions, and each of them would have their own piece of land in relation to their own area. So we are unique in that our members have to either live, work, or in some cases, study or be educated.
And you say
in
have
area.
To. Who makes them? Who makes you?
That's the regulations. That's the rules, right?
So, but why?
So, if you come back to the community point, right? So, credit unions are there to serve their local community. So,
why can you not say you can go to Ranelagh, but you can't go to Rathmines?
Yeah.
Or you can go to parts of Galway, but not other parts of Galway?
Yeah.
Why not? Now, don't tell me the regulations. There must be some thinking behind it.
Yeah, it goes back to the true essence of credit unions and why they were established. They were established by local people looking to help local people in their and improve their lives. So it's local people saving and recirculating that money back into that local community for various different purposes. But in order to do that, they had to probably ring fence that area. So if my savings and I live on a certain road, they want to be insured that those savings are going back out in the form of a lend or a loan to somebody in my local community. So it's local people supporting local people. If you kind of broaden your bond area, then you're actually, it's not local people supporting local people, it's local people supporting a nationwide or national.
Mark, we are a teeny little nation. Yeah. We're 1% of the EU.
But,
and surely we could, by going national, support each other the way I would certainly be keen on.
But what I'm describing is what it is today.
Aha. All right. Okay, we'll go get on to that. So now, I want to hear some radical stuff from you. And I want to you know, stir up things. You know me. Anything for a cheap headline.
Well, you might be familiar with, there's a great model that works brilliantly in the likes of Germany. It's called the Sparkasen Community Bank. And effectively what that is they've broken down Germany into, I think it's 8 regions, and they effectively, it's the government or government bodies who will fund these local regions and distribute it through channels, retail, online channels in those local areas, and centralise, schools of excellence in a central form that will ultimately distribute it out back into the local communities.
And that works?
It works brilliantly over there. It has the market share over there. Yeah.
So why is our government mad keen on having another pillar bank not doing something very similar in Ireland? Let me finish now, because I brought Savvy, that's the company they represent in, or the organisation that you represent in, deliberately. I didn't want to hear the politically correct industry body view. You guys, both of you, know what's going on and going down in the credit union movement. And it's just taking forever to actually kick the credit union organisation into life. I mean, I shouldn't be so maybe disparaging, because it's a brilliant organisation.
Yeah.
But it does need...
It's hugely frustrating.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, and you back to your question, how ambitious, like we want to, like we have massive ambitions to really truly do what we should be doing, is utilising our capital back out into our communities, right? And that community can be Ireland. If you just think about Ireland, like there's 19 billion of savings in the credit union.
Sitting there unused.
No, not all unused. So 5 of that, just only 5 of that goes back out in loans.
So 14 million.
So where does the rest of it go? No, but this is the crazy part. Where is the rest of it? There's 14 billion that is going into Irish banks, deposits, or Irish government, so it's funding the Irish funding strategy, but also it could be invested in a Spanish bank, Spanish government bond, Italian banks, French bonds. So how can we say that credit unions are funding local credit, are funding local initiatives, when actually 3/4 of the funds are going elsewhere? It's a fallacy, right? So what I firmly believe in is that, and there are reasons for that, right? Because of the fragmentation of a lot of the credit unions, they're restricted from regulations to lend certain elements or certain percentages of their balance sheet out. But we really need to work in a much more collaborative way to utilise those and pool those resources, so we can go back out to it in a less restrictive way. Because, for example, Conal, we have a restriction across most credit unions that 10% of their assets can only be lent out in mortgages and business lending. So if you have 19 billion of assets, that's only 1.9 billion that can ever go out in business and mortgages. How can you make an indent?
And who came up with that number?
Yeah, well, again, that's a central bank restriction, yeah.
But is it recent or is that historic?
That came out of a consultation paper called 125 that came out about 2 years ago, that actually was an improvement of what was on there previously. So previously, you couldn't, there was no, basically you could only lend up to a certain term, which is up to 10 years. So in fairness, that hurdle has been dealt with. Now we can move into mortgages and business lending, so we can go into terms of longer than 10 years. But it's still very, there's a nervousness, and you can understand this, I think, from the regulator's point of view, about credit unions moving with big, in big volumes into this space.
Why? Again, why would I be nervous about that?
It's the fragmentation of the industry.
Why would I be nervous about that?
Well,
there was a time when credit unions were run by people who had no banking experience. Between the pair of you in the room, you've almost got a half a century of experience in that area.
Yeah. So through time, it, you know, as the in fairness, the regulator is much more has put a much more robust and stronger framework into credit unions. So the level of capability and competency and governance has really, really dialed up over the last, probably since the financial crisis, over the last 10, 12 years. So therefore, capability is improving, but still slow to kind of unleash or to just release that competency so we can go and really compete, because we can't compete and truly at the moment.
And again, and the reason that I asked you to come in, because I didn't want to hear the industry body view, was that if I were a Taoiseach or a Tánaiste or whatever, Minister for Finance, there's this big, I'll call him an elephant, sitting in the room that could help sort out particularly areas like housing. And there is some, in Irish we use a lovely word called druggle. There's some ennui about it that they just don't do it. Now, is the, and both of you have come from the so-called pillar banks, is the leaden hand of banking somewhere keeping you off the pitch? Or, you know, I mean, banks, like all other businesses, do play dirty. Is there something like that going on? Anybody want to take that one?
No, I don't think there's anything on. I don't think there's any kind of Machiavellian.
That's a pity. I was hoping that I might hear that.
No, you're looking for controversy here. I mean, look, it's up to the credit union movement to front up as well. Like, I mean, it's not. No, I don't think the pillar banks in the background are not that we're aware of are pulling strokes. If that's your question, but I mean, look, to add to what Mark said as well, I mean, you do have 200. Separate entities around the country. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, credit unions or anything else. If you have 200 individual bodies trying to bring them together into one force to point them in the one direction is like that's no easy, it's no mean feat. That would take time, assuming the willingness is there.
How much time?
Ah, how long is a piece of string? I don't know.
But there's an urgency about this. In particular, our lovely listeners are in business and we want alternatives to the banks that are leaving us. Mm-hmm. And the credit unions are sitting there, chock a block full of cash, and we can't get to it.
Yeah, and in fairness, you mentioned at the very start there that the two main umbrella bodies that represent the wider credit union network, that's the Irish League of Credit Unions and the Credit Union Development Association. And their whole remit is really to support that growth that that brings credit unions as a true alternative to the pillars, right? Like that, like that's what they're trying to achieve. And in fairness, there's a lot of work going on. Like it's always hard to say this when you don't see it out in the street, but there's a lot of work going on in the background to collaborate for credit unions are collaborating, bringing that skills together to really make an inroad back out into the market. And mortgages is one that's happening as we speak today. Like we're a large credit union, we're doing our own mortgages, right? But some smaller credit unions can't do it. Why? Because they don't have the capability or competency, or it's not worth their while because they're restricted by because they're so small. But by coming together, we can create that pool of people, competency, process, you know, regulatory competency as well, and we can get that back out under an umbrella of a credit union product or service. So that model will be out there, certainly, you know, it's imminent. That will also.
Is a word now. Imminent is a word that I.
Yeah,
have
well, you're talking months, like you know.
Oh, is that?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
months
yeah.
Is,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know, months is months are. Months are good.
Well, months is it means less than a year, right?
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I mean by that.
And that will be on the mortgage side, the bigger. So,
and that model,
how many mortgages would you, as in Savvy, how many mortgages would you have given out to date?
So we have about 130 mortgages on our books.
And in the next couple of years, what do you bring that up to?
Yeah, so in the next couple of years, we want to double that. from our perspective. So, and that's maximising our regulatory limits. So we want to bring that right up to what our.
And would you be lobbying by you? I mean, your side. Which of these two organisations do you belong to, or do you belong to both?
Yeah, we do. But the Irish League is we're an affiliate member of the Irish League, so that's the Irish League of Credit Unions.
So, are you trying to get that cap removed so that you can actually do far more?
Yeah, but in fairness, right? So, Patrick Casey, who's the registrar, was the registrar with the Central Bank, has now moved on. But when he spoke at one of our latest conferences earlier on this year, he's asked that very question. You know, these limits are restricting us, but the utilization at the moment is only 2% or thereabouts. We can go.
Why is that?
Back to the fragmentation.
But you mean the overall is 2%? But in Savvy,
I mean mortgages. No. Yeah. In Savvy, we're higher than that. We're higher than the market. But and we're looking to maximise up to because of our size, we can go up to 15%. Each credit union, depending on size, can only lend up to certain percentages of their assets.
And are you competitive with others giving mortgages? In other words, with the banks or whatever?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So. At the moment, our offering would be right up there with best in terms of rate and best, we would like to think, in terms of service and speed of decision. And also, we would make decisions that some banks would turn away.
And speaking of service, you are doing something that the pillar banks are not doing. You're actually producing human beings. You can actually talk to people. And I know Tom Murphy of De Facto will love this because there is a movement now back to humans. I don't want to talk to a bot anymore.
Yeah, sure. And look, we would perceive that to be one of our USPs. So, I mean, it's certainly an area that we can compete. And look, by necessity, maybe as much as anything else, you mentioned the pillar banks. The pillar banks are increasingly automating, especially at a lower level of lending. And they need to, because if a Bank of Ireland has 1 to 1.5 million accounts or customers, Savvy Credit Union has 22,000. And we do have that sort of internal tacit knowledge about our customer base. But our customer size, and our member size, I should say, allows us to do that. So, for example, you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that we have a very close relationship with ESB, and that relationship goes back to the 60s. We therefore have quite we've built up a bank of knowledge about ESB employees, which in turn allows us to make faster lending decisions regarding their applications than maybe another lender might be able to do.
I'll have to go for a quick break now in a second, but I'm now thinking about your ESB employees are literally in every county of the country.
Correct, yes.
So, you actually break your own bounds anyway.
No,
because
to cut across
no,
it. But
that's you see where I'm going with this.
No, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I was going to maybe jump in earlier. But yes, we do. We actually have members all over the country.
And because, you lend to them?
Oh, we do, absolutely. 100%. So the common bond can be a geographic piece, an industrial credit union as well. So the ESB employees. Okay. And we can also market ourselves to for membership to ESB family members. Yeah. So if you happen to be the family member of an ESB employee, so we have...
I pay the ESB money every month. Does that...
Now you're stretching it. Now you're really stretching it. But look, I mean, to your point, we absolutely do. We have members all over the country, north, south, east, west. But we also have a huge amount of our membership geographically. It's Dublin 1, 2, and the majority of 4 as well.
Well, we have to take a break, but I want to come back to you about lending to businesses, but we'll take a quick break and get some ad money in and then you can come back to us.
That great business show, Irish Podcast Awards 2022. Best Business Podcast nominee.
Everyday accounting can be a bit of a drama for SMEs. However, BigRedCloud.com takes the drama away with its simple and easy-to-use cloud-based accounting and payroll software designed for SME owners. Raise and send invoices, manage VAT reports and obligations, run management reports, link directly to Irish banks, automatically import purchase invoices, and so much more. All with 5-star customer support. BigRedCloud.com, 100% Irish-owned and a proud member of Team GBS.
All that great business show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
That great business show.
And I'm joined again by Mark Byrne and Conall O'Callaghan of Savvy Credit Union, SAVVI. And we were talking there about mortgages, but we are a business show, so we better talk a bit about business. Business lending, who's doing it, how much, what you can do, how much can I get from you, what kind of business, etc. Fill in the blanks, please. Connell.
Sure. Okay. So look, our primary business lending product at present and since September has been via the SBCI Bills Fund. So that's the Brexit Impact Loan Scheme Fund. Okay.
And SBCI is the Strategic Banking Corporation of Ireland. Yes. Yep. We don't do acronyms. The two lads here told me beforehand they've never listened to the podcast. I was going to chuck them out again, but then. So continuing about the business lending.
Yeah, I'm going to listen back to this one. Okay, so I'll start from there. So look,
you mightn't be happy with what you hear.
Okay. Well, let's see how we roll. The Brexit Impact Loan Scheme via the SBCI. So we were given a tranche of funding, effectively, it's a reduced rate. So it's a 5% rate, open to all SMEs. Now, as you probably know, look, 99% of all businesses in the country would fall into that SME category. Within that 99%, 90% plus would tend to be micro businesses rather than smaller medium enterprises. So I know there are other parameters, but broadly speaking, let's say 10 or under employees. And now, those guys and gals, what do they tend to be? You're talking about family businesses. You're talking about Michael and Mary or Mary and whoever. They're smaller entities, all right? So that would be they would be the people that, look, would primarily be utilising these type of funds. And that's not that small and medium enterprises wouldn't be, but that's our target market in our locality. And again, it goes back to this piece about community. Money's back out into the community. So the loan itself is intended for businesses that have been impacted by Brexit. More recently, it has been extended as well to COVID. Without getting too in-depth into the T's and C's, I would imagine that there isn't a company in the country that could not point to over the last number of years having been impacted by either Brexit or COVID. So the vast majority of businesses, I would imagine, would be entitled to apply for these funds.
So Mary and Michael are in the ice cream business.
Yeah.
And they're not affected by, say, Brexit and or COVID. Would they or could they come along to Savvy Credit Union and get a loan to buy another van or another?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what are the kind of terms and conditions, speaking of your T's and C's, that they would face different, separate to, or if they went to their local Bank of Ireland, for example?
If you look at how are we different to we look at how we are different to banks in terms of credit assessment, it's all about, you know, does Mary and Michael have the ability to generate the cash to repay us? So it's all about cash flow management. And do we believe in their story? Do we believe in the business? And more often than not, it's a review of their statements historically. But we won't say no just because they had one year that was, you know, didn't perform, or, you know, there was some nuance in the business. You got to look beyond that. You look to the people, you look to the business case, you look to their character, you look to their history, and you look to their projections going forward, and do you believe it or not? So there's a bit of old school underwriting that's quite different to probably the automated algorithmic, whatever that word is.
Algorithms, yeah.
Yeah. That's a little bit why credit unions are different too. So we will assess it and make a decision that in some cases a bank could just say no because it just didn't hit their policy or scorecards.
Now, I think that's a brilliant thing and I kind of laud that and all. Mm. But I always wonder, does the central bank say that's exactly what they don't want? They prefer an algorithm? No.
And in fairness, it's proven in our level of arrears or a level of business that's gone into default, which is really, really low. We've lower level of arrears than actually the traditional banks have. And why? And this is the real beauty of credit unions that I've learned since I've joined. People would rather pay back their credit union before they put food on the table in some cases. You know, they'd actually feel loyal to the local community and actually make sure that's paid back first before anything else happens. And our level of arrears is just remarkably low. It is quite amazing. And I mean that not only by the businesses.
In front of you there, touch that now because...
But as you grow, it might not always say the same.
But
it's back to... Maybe that's an Irish trait. Like, you know, you don't want to let your your fellow person in the community down. And like, that's what people feel. It's very different to, you know, a relationship you might have with a kind of an anonymous pillar bank.
When go back to Michael and Mary now, how much can they expect to be able to borrow? Do you go into quarter of a million?
And again, this might seem like a very grey answer, but the answer to that question is it's up to Michael and Mary to come with the proposition, but we wouldn't rule out any proposition.
What's the biggest loan you've given in Savvy?
600,000.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? That's chunky. Yeah. That's a business loan.
That is a combined business and a personal loan.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well,
so
yeah,
that's our exposure to
one. So it wasn't a mortgage or anything like
no,
that?
No.
That's chunky. Yeah.
Now, again, like the central bank have put restrictions on everything, we can only go up to a certain percentage of our overall over assets. So our overall biggest loan we can do at this point in time where we stand is a million.
Mm. I'm going to headline all of this, you know, saying there's somebody out there who wants to give you a million.
Well, yeah, they're good for it.
And what does good for it mean? And I mean, I presume that your due diligence on that much greater, yeah?
Yeah, like
personal guarantees?
And rarely, to be perfectly honest with you, rarely. But so just so you're aware, and people are aware, like there's a robust, you know, due diligence, but there's a credit committee as well that would sit, in our case, it sits every week, and they would do the full kind of, you know, review, credit assessment, and really challenge the underwriters who's actually presenting the case. So that rigor happens, and it's probably akin to old school, what would happen back in branches and banks, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Every case in our situation above 50,000 goes to a credit committee.
Okay. You know, that's kind of heartening to hear that there is something. Go back to this thing, a bot and your favorite algorithm. I mean, making decisions, good luck. Sorry, Conal.
Yeah, well, no, look, again, that's something I mentioned earlier on. We would see it as our USP. We will take on board. We will listen to the story, and we will make decisions based on what we're told. So look, it's not a black and white scenario. And I can, without giving examples for obvious reasons on air, I mean, I have...
Oh, feel free. This is a podcast.
Yeah, I know. But look, I mean, there are very distinct differences. And I can speak from my years of experience in one of the pillar banks in
Bank of Ireland.
Yeah, in the manner that maybe the assessment happens there versus the credit union. And look, again, it's back to that sort of personal touch, the advisor listening to the story, taking on board what you're hearing, asking questions and challenging back, by the way. We don't want to give off the impression that it's a case of walking in the door and signing the check. As Mark mentioned, due diligence, credit committees, all of the usual things that one would expect occurs. But look, we are open for business, and we want people in the local community to approach us and put the proposition to us. And if the proposition makes sense, hey, let's go.
And how quickly can you turn a loan around? You know, largest loan, I won't say 600,000, but say 50,000.
You can do it in days.
Would you?
Yeah, you can do it in days, yeah.
Now, I said to you at the very beginning that I was not a member and have never been a member of a credit union. So what's the process? I've walked by them 100 times and said, must go in there and see what the process is. What do I do? Walk in and somebody talks to me and it won't be a bot anyway.
If you can walk in, you can call us, you can do it online. So there's, you know, the choice is yours. Walk in, it's an application. It's like opening up an account in the old school video stores. It's two pieces of ID, and
nobody listening to this podcast knows what a video store was.
I'm showing my age now, but it's what you would expect. You know, we have to prove who you are ultimately, and prove that you live within our common bond or part of our industrial common bond. Which is the links to the companies.
Because you said Dublin's 1 and 2, so therefore, say, for example, in your case now, this applies differently to all credit unions out there, but if I were in the IFSC, you're within my remit, or I'm within your remit or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I say that I'm there, I'm working the IFSC, and I want 50 grand, but it isn't that simple. Do I have to put money in to start? Remember this thing that you could only put get money out of you?
Again, it's a myth. And look, some credit unions might apply that. And back to the point, there's so many different credit unions with different rules. But ultimately, no, you don't have to have a certain amount of savings to borrow against it. In our case, you open the account, you can do it online. We have an app, you can do it via your app and download your information. And then you'll become a member within a day. Once you're a member, you have to activate Your account, that's just down putting 10 euros into your account, right? That's just going to get the thing up and running. After that, then you can borrow. And then it's all about good old-fashioned credit assessment on your capability to repay. And if we prove with you that you have the capability to repay, then the borrowing happens.
So you're looking for businesses that are already set up. I'm just thinking aloud again. Startups need not apply?
We'll look at it. I mean, when you move into SBCI territory again, I suppose that the terms, conditions of, say, the Brexit impact loan would dictate that you have been impacted by Brexit as a business.
But not if you're a startup, because you weren't there.
Correct. And that's my point, right? So many of the SBCI schemes are predicated on the fact that you have been impacted by these things. So by its nature, a startup business will not be able to prove Brexit impact, okay? But we would look at maybe a startup for a separate business lending proposition or product, yeah.
Okay, so how quickly can I start talking to you about loans? I'm not looking for a loan, just in case you're thinking that I am.
Yeah.
But so I put in my tenor. Mm. And I mean, is it instant? I mean, I'm ready to go immediately.
I mean, I'll give you a working example.
Please do.
Okay, so we have a number of money at work schemes in operation around about the Dockland area, which is our catchment area. Okay, so these would be businesses that we actively go out to. Now, an awful lot of this has been done online over the last number of years because of COVID. So we would set up days where we would have Teams calls with individuals within the company who would be working in our catchment area and are therefore entitled to apply to be members of Savvy via our common bond. So I have had any number of conference calls and Teams calls and Zooms calls with people who are not yet members of Savvy. We will have an initial conversation about their creditworthiness, what they may potentially apply for on a mortgage. If we feel both parties that it's a runner, they would go online. They can open up an account with Savvy Credit Union within a day or two, lodge their 10 euro, and then we can proceed to application. And as Mark mentioned, we have a credit committee generally at least once a week. So we have the ability to turn around those applications quite quickly.
And you know the way that the pillar, I hate calling them pillar banks, the banks.
Sure.
Talk to each other about credit worthiness. Are you in on that same credit worthiness measure thing?
Yeah, so the centralised credit register, the CCR.
Thank you.
Which is formerly the
ICB.
ICB, yeah. So yes, so we plug into that. So we'll that will form part of our decision.
So no sneaky stuff around the back door.
We're a smaller entity, but I mean, very much day to day, think of the same structures, processes, procedures, regulations as a bank. We do much of the same. Yeah.
What about credit cards? Are you doing credit cards yet?
No. I don't like credit cards.
Okay, they're very useful. I live on one.
And that's coming from somebody who used to be a product owner of a credit card in different institutions. I don't like them for credit unions.
When you say product owner, what you mean is that you ran the credit card unit. Yeah. Okay.
I think for credit unions, the best way we can serve our members is to support them in their budgeting, and we have a budget account for that, support them in their savings, and also support them then as and when they need credit, and to lend it to them in a responsible way that allows them to repay back in a way that doesn't is not detrimental to them. Credit cards, as I'm sure we're all aware, can go up to 20, 30 APR% interest rates. And that's not something that I think sits well with the credit union world.
Okay, that's an interesting answer. Now, do you do debit cards?
Credit unions do.
Okay. Savvy?
Savvy doesn't.
Why not? I don't like debit cards.
No. debit cards are fine. And obviously, part of everybody's day-to-day life. For credit unions, and specific to Savvy, strategically, we need to really focus on growing our capability and competency around supporting people's ability to borrow and improve their lives and invest in their own however way they want to travel. So, current accounts for us, because we had a current account.
Had
Yes.
Past tense.
And we closed it for a number of reasons. One, it cost us quite a significant amount. The take-up was remarkably low. So our members are basically telling us that it's not something that they, you know, hugely were interested in.
Was that because they were banking with their current account with other banks?
Most of the current accounts that were opened with us, now I can't speak for others, were secondary accounts. You know, So
they were doing their current account banking with others. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Now, with others closing down, KBC and Ulster Bank gone, is there not an opening there?
There is. But back to the whole kind of early conversation. Current accounts bring liquidity, bring cash back onto the balance sheet. We have an abundance of that. We want to get that back out in lending. So it's just specific to where we are today. Not to say we wouldn't have current accounts tomorrow or in the future period, but it doesn't work for us strategically now.
And do other credit unions give either debit and or credit cards?
Only debit.
Debits all the way. Today. All right, yeah. Because I was thinking, if I go in for a loan, I'm not going to walk out with a bag load of money or cash, am I?
You're not going to walk out with a bag of cash, no. I think that's not the right thing to do. But
everything's transferred electronically.
It's all true electronic funds transfer, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So how else are you different to or similar to your regular bank?
So there's a number of things that makes us different that we like to think that makes us different. Just adding on to the local decision making, which is one. Secondly, insurances. So once you become a member and you put your 10 euros into your account.
I'll do it shortly after this, I promise you. If you listen to the podcast, immediately, I'll buy my, I will, my give you my tenner.
I might give you a tenner to give me for real.
Does that mean that you don't listen to the podcast?
We'll listen, okay, I promise.
So some benefits, insurance benefits, Cunnell. So immediately you get, and this is what something banks don't do, there's a debt benefit insurance. Now somebody, you know, is obviously not thinking that way to join a credit union, but immediately there's some levels of security there in the event of the inevitable. There's a payout directly, no matter how much you save with us. So, and then there's a savings protection scheme as well. So we'll pay out an additional amount above that in the event of your demise.
Backed by the government, aren't you? You are government guaranteed, are you?
Well, yeah, so the deposit guarantee scheme, I think, correct, is what you're referring to. So the DGS.
Oh, but of course the DGS.
So all savings up to 100,000 are covered, and we're part of that.
So regular, yes.
So all your savings are covered. You have these extra benefits around insurances that banks wouldn't have, and then if you take out a loan with us, we're kind of insulating people when the inevitable happens, that your loan will repay. So we'll effectively pay off your loan. So your debt is negated in that event. So there are three nice benefits.
And if I could add, and apologies if you mentioned this and I missed it, but we are not for profit.
Essential. It wasn't mentioned, and I just think, because I'm a big fan of not for profit, but we'll get on to that. That is the voice of Cunnell O'Callaghan. Previously to that was Mark Burnby. We have to take a quick break, because after that, we get to the hard stuff. You're going to feel your leaving cert now. We're going to find out about the Savvy Grand Lab, Land Grab, and how you're going to take over the world and maybe even take over your former employer, Bank of Ireland, after this break.
That great business show, Irish Podcast Awards 2022. Best Business Podcast nominee.
Viscosity. When you shave, you want the highest viscosity because it helps the blade run smoother. De Facto, the world's best shaving oil, has incredible viscosity. That's why De Facto leaves your face, underarms or legs nick-free. Higher viscosity makes blades last longer. De Facto is the best for your skin and your pocket. DeFactoShave.com.
All that great business show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
And I'm here with Mark Byrne and Cunnell O'Callaghan of Savvy Credit Union. That's one based in Dublin. But many of the things that they're talking about are very similar to credit unions right around the country. So I was asking there, Mark, about what Savvy is going to do to take over other credit unions. See, that's a loaded question. I'm not assuming that you might or might not. I'm just saying you're going to do it.
Okay. We're not looking to take over other credit unions.
Promise.
Like that's not part of what we're about. We need to be just be great at what we currently do and serve our members as best as we can. And that's what we're really trying to do. So Savvy in its own world, we've 42 employees, we've 22,000, nearly 23,000 members. We've 385 million of cash that we're managing on behalf of our members. And we've 63, 64 million of lending gone back out into the market. We just need to be brilliant at all of that, first and foremost.
And I said it before, you have, between the two of you, half a century of experience.
Yeah.
42 could become 84 on a blink. The numbers can be doubled or quadrupled easily.
Yeah.
And you'd still be the same management. You'd still be running similar. Why not?
Yeah. So what I was trying to explain there is Savvy, right? And that's where we're at today. So our strategy is to materially grow our lending. So to get that savings back out into the local community and not buying a French government bond or a Spanish government bond. I don't like doing that. So I'd rather be giving the money out to Mary Black down the road for her car or whatever. So we want to be doing a lot more of that. But we have a big challenge, and one is around awareness. There's not enough people know or are aware of what we do in our local community. We have 4,200 businesses in our geographical bond. I suspect 85 to 90% of them don't know that we're open for business, for business lending. So that's a big challenge.
I'm going to ask you a hard question. Why have you failed to get that message across?
We haven't failed, right? And immediately the back is up there when you say that. But we haven't failed.
But of course. Why,
because it's only
it?
A very recent departure in our strategy. It wasn't part of the thinking.
Yeah.
And
curious, isn't it?
Yeah. So we would have focused primarily 95% of our time on personal lending. But we've recently, in the last 6 to 9 months, grown and are modifying our strategy to actually be open for business. And that's the journey we're on. But it takes a while to create that awareness.
How do you do it at the moment?
Yeah, you do it through a lot of heavy marketing that we're doing, being involved in a lot of the various different bodies, like the Dublin Chamber of Commerce is important, running events, getting in touch with a lot of intermediaries. Intermediaries are huge.
Are they?
I mean accountants, solicitors, estate agents. Really, really important to spread the message. And, you know, you have a good relationship with five or six accountants specifically, that can go a long way, to spreading that message. So it's a wide and varied kind of attack to actually, you know, create that awareness. And we've marketed to all of the businesses in the local area as well, quite recently. So,
using what? How do you market?
Look, good old fashioned, snail mail and email.
Good, yeah. Of course, you've got an unpost background, so therefore you're that way inclined, aren't you?
But like,
does it work?
It's hard to tell yet. We're getting interest, but not enough. Not enough, to be honest.
What does work? What has worked?
I would say the interpersonal relationships. So Mark mentioned the intermediaries. I mean, when you're talking to business people, I mean, you think of accountants in particular. So good, solid relationships with accountants, and me personally, but also Savvy. And I guess what we're all about. Look, we're looking to reach out to accountants within our local community. It should be a mutually beneficial relationship. We would hope over time, we're starting from a very low base, that we would build up a business membership. Those business memberships will have needs as well. And that would be work that we would hopefully push back out into the community. But if you establish relationships with accountants, intermediaries, and I keep talking about accountants, solicitors, estate agents, all, if you think of a mortgage, the mortgage proposition, you need valuers, you need solicitors, you could have engineers, you could have architects involved, you have us, you have solicitors on the other side. That's a whole group of professionals who have to come together to make this happen, to get somebody into a home. That can all be done within our common bond, within our geographic common bond in Dublin 1, 2 and 4. As Mark mentioned, look, we have upwards of 4,000 registered registered businesses in our locality. To the failure part, look, it is a relatively new proposition for us.
I was only joking.
No, I know. Well, I hope you are. But look, it's a relatively new proposition for us. So look, it is going to take time to build up our base, and we want to do it in a right, responsible way as well. But look, we're confident we'll get there, and we're sitting here today as well, so you could be part of our failure story.
Yeah, but you're the two people who don't listen to the podcast. We do have 67,000 others who do listen to us.
Great.
I do go down these little rabbit holes. If I were to buy a house using one of your mortgages, must it be within your catchment area, the house?
No. No, not at all. It's to do with the common bond. So it's to do with your connection, the common bond, the thing that our members share. So look, if you qualify to be a member of Savvy Credit Union, and look, we've done this, and it's important to say as well, just while you've brought up the subject or the topic, any type of more, like it, on your private dwelling, okay, on your principal private residence, we don't presently look after residential investment properties or residential investment loans, but we've dealt with people in Kerry, we've dealt with people in Donegal, Sligo, self-builds as well. Yeah, absolutely. And I know
that's a curious one, because I know that's an issue. Yeah,
but again, bear in mind our membership, right? So we have people right across the country, and people maybe looking to build in rural areas, getting gifts of land from parents, all that kind of stuff. Now in Dublin, maybe less common.
You're making people in Dublin weep.
Absolutely. But look, I mean, within Dublin, it's just less, it's less common. They're going in and they're buying off a site from a builder. But look, the point being, and to answer your question again, no, absolutely not. They don't, it doesn't have to be a property purchase in our common bond or geographic common bond.
So if you were to look either of you out to the future, say something close, 3-5 years, will there be much fewer credit unions, but bigger, more, I won't say professional, because I don't want to be down on you, but what is the future?
I'll go.
Sure.
I definitely see much more consolidation in the market. So,
how quickly?
It's happening. I think every year there'll be less and less credit unions, and there'll be larger credit unions, which is kind of correlated. A lot more collaboration. You'll see propositions coming out now. There'll be nationwide credit union propositions, i.e. under the League or under CUDA. You already see that in these monster loans that you might see on the airwaves. They're all facilitated by a marketing campaign that's part of the League.
A monster loan?
Yeah. Now,
what is a monster loan?
So monster loan is a product name or a brand for mortgage loans. And I didn't see that program.
That must have been on Love Island or something.
It's been on the airways for a couple of years, actually. but anyway, look, monster loans. But actually, green loans.
I listened to podcasts myself.
Green loans. So that's a big space for us.
Of course.
Right? So retrofitting.
So you put on the solar panels and all?
Yeah. And we've partnered with, it's a nice proposition, we've partnered with House to Home and Energy, where we actually and have a one-stop shop kind of approach that people can retrofit their homes and fund that through savings or through a credit union loan, and get the whole works project managed in a one-stop shop kind of approach, similar to what OnPost launched a couple of years ago as well. So you're trying to make things easier by adding more value for the member to avail of our services. And also, there's other things that we've partnered with Irish Life for pension management, for life assurances, for long-term savings and things like that. So you're trying to add value where you mightn't have the competency or capability within yourself.
So in terms of the growth, that's good. It'll grow. But is there a magic wand? If you had a magic wand, if you had the Team GBS magic wand, what would you ask Pascal Donoghue, or it doesn't matter who, the government with a big G or a small G, to do to really rattle it, to make it happen and make it happen fast? What would you do? Or what would you like it to be done?
I think support the movement, the credit unions, to collaborate and potentially amalgamate funding to invest in support of mortgage and business lending back out into the market, and just do it over a much faster period.
But what do you need for that? Again, I'm not in the business, so I don't really understand where the humps and the bumps are.
So just back to the restrictions, right? So simply, we've, say on average, it's 10%. So 10% of 19 billion, we can only do 2 billion.
So you could do on a next budget, 20%.
Yeah, exactly.
30%?
But 2 billion is
not enough.
It's nowhere near enough. It's not even 15% of what's going to happen next year. Like it's a 12 billion market in new lending. So we're not going to really be, if you want to have a
50%.
It has to be a number that, if you think, if there's going to be four players in the market, Bank of Ireland, AIB, Permo, and the credit unions, you know, we have to be getting a quarter. So I want to be doing to get a quarter. So in order to get a quarter of the mortgage market, you have to be doing 3 billion a year. So what do we need to do to get that? You work back from what you're trying to achieve. And I think that's the type of thinking you need.
And of course, it's a circle. So therefore, you have to get the 3 billion in as well to get it out.
Yeah, but we have the 3 billion.
Yeah, that's at the moment. But I mean, let's say that there is a run on your money in the best sense, not in the bad sense of run on money. But so therefore, again, it's making people aware to get their funds into you.
Yeah, yeah. And look, in fairness, look, I think that tends not to be the issue. If you think of, you know, what's just very recently, again, we get voted one of the most trusted financial services brands, and under RepTrack, which is the marketing brand awareness annual survey, we're always in the top one, top two.
That's
for the last 10 years. So trust is there.
That's brilliant.
So save, people trust, people save with institutions that they trust. And that savings is not the problem. What we want people, members, to do is actually go the other side and actually, when they need it, is to borrow more from us. So, you know, if you're going to save with us, why wouldn't you borrow from us? Mm.
So the same question that I've asked three or four times about the government, or is it, I don't know, the regulators or somebody, where is the holdup? Why is there a holdup? Say on the lending caps.
So I think if you're standing in Pascal Donoghue's shoes and you're looking out and you've got 214 machines with their own boards and their own local community, shareholders, which are their members, and, you know, you really want to disrupt that and consolidate that into a kind of, if you go back to the Sparkasian model, and pool all those resources into one centralised pool and then, you know, break it out into four provinces, back out into the community. You know, that's a real ambitious, ballsy way of going about it. But my God, the execution of that would be an absolute, you know, massive challenge, right?
It would be, but it'd be like worth doing, wouldn't it?
I think so. I believe in it.
Donna O'Malley,
I think that's why they're shirking away from it, though.
Donna O'Malley in 1960 dot or something shook up the education system in this country to the benefit, massive benefit of the country. Mm. And what you're talking about, I never understand politicians who don't think, oddly enough, one of the last guys who did have the big vision was somebody maybe who had too much vision, was Charles J. Hawley. He actually did stir things up. And I do think, and I'm not asking you guys to comment on that because it might upset somebody somewhere, but that a little bit of vision and you could really do something great with what a great Irish institution, the credit union.
Yeah, and look, and just on that, I would say not to throw baby out with the bathwater as well. There is an awful lot to be admired about the credit union model and the protection of that common bond within whatever those amendments look like. So the common bond, for example, does allow credit unions to cooperate in a way and in a manner that other financial institutions maybe necessarily don't within the state. So credit unions have an incentive to cooperate with each other because we generally don't tend to stray onto one another's patch. So there is a huge amount of collaboration and cooperation that happens. Now, I'm not disagreeing with Mark's view or your own in terms of progression. And look, that will have to happen. It'll happen naturally. But
it won't happen naturally unless somebody kicks it.
Yeah, no, of course. But naturally is the wrong word to use, right? The kicking will likely happen at some point into the future anyway, because change, the speed of change in financial services, the disruptors, the Revolutes, the N26s, if we don't, I mean, it's a survival piece as much as anything else. But the point I'm making is there is a lot to be admired there, the not-for-profit piece, the common bond, the way it operates, the level of cooperation that that engenders within the credit union movement. So it's to protect that within the amendments that will no doubt happen into the future.
Well, sounds pretty interesting because, as I keep saying, it is a brilliant institution. There are a handful of great things about the country, and that is one of them, in my humble view, but I'm sure you agree with me on this one anyway. Come here to me. We always ask, not that Conal O'Callaghan would remember because he didn't read his email, but we ask our honoured guests about who they would hire in a heartbeat. I'll let Conal still keep thinking about it because he's only had an hour to think about it so far. But Mark, you're kind and you read your email. And who would you hire in a heartbeat?
Who would I hire? I would. So I've thought about this and
phew. Well, at least one of you did.
So this is for Savvy now, is that right?
It's who would Mark Byrne hire in a heartbeat for your team? And, you know, it's open-ended. And you can have two. You can have three. It's a podcast. We do anything we want. You
well, the politically correct answer is that I wouldn't hire anybody because I have a brilliant team.
Okay.
Okay. And we do have a brilliant team, in fairness. But if you have to add to it...
I would like to go out here and get sick.
If you had to add to it... You know, there's people who I've worked with in the past,
yeah,
who I've massively admired, and there's one guy that keeps and I keep coming back to, and he's actually moved on. He went to Ulster Bank in a very senior capacity. Then he went into Finance Ireland. He's in Finance Ireland now as the COO. But he's brilliant. He's a brilliant motivator.
His name?
Can I mention his name?
The whole point is to mention his name. Jesus,
he'll get a big head now.
Yeah. A podcast.
His name is Damien Daly.
Damien Daly, okay.
He would have been a big influence in my career. More for his positive attitude, more for his bringing people along, more for his ability to really challenge status quo and you know, really be a vanguard back in his day. So I love that attitude. I try to replicate a wee bit myself. So he's value wherever he goes.
I love that, the people who have helped you along your career. Yeah. I have a few of those people as well. One day when somebody interviews me, I'll tell them all.
I think you should interview him. I think he's
I'd love to.
Yeah.
So Damien, if you want to come on. I mean, open
he's
house.
A good lad, yeah.
Yeah. So long as you read the email. Speaking of Conal O'Callaghan, who didn't read the email.
So I've only had an hour to think of somebody and I haven't thought of anybody, so I'll have to come back to you with a name, right? But
I do not let anybody go. You can say, a lot of people say, you know, Jurgen Klopp, you are big on your football. So therefore, give me somebody that you'd fancy from a football team that you'd like to have on your, not on your football team, on your business team. It's a business podcast. That's the giveaway.
Business podcast.
Okay. Somebody said Mother Teresa. Maybe that's for desperate
Mother
businesses.
Teresa. Yeah, okay. All right, okay.
Do you ever
Klopp would have been a good one.
Well, Jurgen Klopp, a lot of people
say, he's quite progressive.
Like very much,
I was trying to give you something original there, but Klopp, yeah. That's I'm sorry, I don't have a name. I'll come back to you with a name, a good name, a proper name. So you'll become a member of a credit union. I'll start listening to your podcast.
This is great, because Mark is going to pay me the tenner to put into the thing.
Yeah,
you're going to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
It's going to run in a circle. That's just like a credit union,
exactly,
isn't it?
Absolutely. There you go.
There you go, is right. So that is, that was Mark Byrne, CEO of Savvy, and Conal O'Callaghan, who is Head of Business Growth. And anybody who wants to find you at savvy.ie.
S-A-V-V-I.
I can do no more for you than that. Savvy.ie. And they'll be delighted to lend you money. Up to, did you say a million? 600,000 anyway. I heard you, the 600,000.
Yeah, we can go up to the million now at this stage, which is great for us. So
that was cool.
Look,
well, that is a different kind of interview on the podcast, because I love this. This podcast is just lovely because it makes people laugh. And that's it from That Great Business Show, episode 102. Now, I don't want to sound all school teacherish, but thousands of you, up to 15,000 sometimes, look at our LinkedIn postings for every podcast. Then hundreds of you, sometimes up to 700 of you, like a post. However, if instead you clicked the share button, not the like button, the share button, that then goes to your followers. It's also good for you because LinkedIn loves it when you post relevant content. LinkedIn thinks you're a great guy altogether when you do that kind of stuff. So you're doing yourselves a favour, as well as us, a favour by clicking the share button. It takes exactly the same effort, i.e. nil, but it sends the podcast to many, 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 many thousands who are missing out on not hearing Ireland's best business podcast and the two likely lads who don't even listen to it. And that's the nomination we got from the Irish Podcast Awards, Best Business Podcast. And you can also vote for us for the public choice vote at irishpodcastawards.ie. And here is another request. Why isn't your business advertising with us? Iron Man Mark O'Dwyer's Big Red Cloud does. So have Microfinance Ireland, Virgin Media and Udrós na Gaeltachta. We seriously doubt if any other channel can deliver a truly engaged business audience at our incredible value for money prices. We record here at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where sound engineer Mark McCarthy, a lender if ever there was one, and studio manager Peter Rice, he's been more a borrower, wouldn't he? He would be a borrower, yeah. Create the sound that helped us win that Best Business Podcast nomination. If you want to record a podcast, use the team here at the Dublin South Podcast Studios. I vote for them every week. And if you'd like the media group to produce a podcast for your business, then do talk to me, Conal O'Moran. You'll always find me on LinkedIn and on social in general. Also, as always, we thank our sponsor for all great business insights and tips are brought to you, as always, thanks to that sponsor. That is De Facto Shaving Oil, the world's best all-natural shaving oil. They back us. Please back them. DeFactoShave.com will get them. Now, the two lads, because they are guests, have got their presents from Tom Murphy of shaving oil from, now remember this name, De Facto. Conal, what is your favourite shaving oil? De Facto?
Of course.
No, say De Facto.
De Facto.
Very good. God, this is like being in school. Mark, what is your favourite shaving oil?
De Facto.
That's incredible. That's 100%. And don't forget also to buy Business Plus magazine, where we now have a regular column all about the podcast. So from me, Conal O'Moran, Míle Buíochas for listening. Agus slán tamall.